Today's sermon by Pastor Kevin Roberts is brought to you by the Bethany EC Church in Tamaqua, Pennsylvania.
From their families. As I thought about that, I realized that many children are starving to be noticed. Children somehow can become very invisible in the world in which we live. They will seek to have attention from their parents or from their teachers, and the reality is that if they don't get that attention, they will find a way to get attention. And usually, it's a negative method. For many children, the only attention they receive is when they're doing something wrong. And you think about this, because I can relate to this as a parent. I'd be busy doing something, and, you know, I'm not paying much attention to anything, but boy, they step out of line. I can stop what I'm doing, and I can pay attention. And probably all of you parents can relate to that. Because we live in a busy world and we're busy doing something, and we will stop to pay attention to negative behavior. Many children will act out. Many teenagers will act out. Why is that? Usually, it is to get attention. Now, one of the major sources of attention comes from parents. And from infancy, children like attention. Think about this. You know, you're teaching your child, how big are you? So big. And we all clap and we get all excited. And the children, boy, they like to perform, you know, or they'll begin to walk and we'll be cheering them on. We're all excited. Children just glow when somebody notices their accomplishments. If an infant does not receive that attention, many times there are some relational deficiencies that occur. The same thing about a child. If a child is taken and just kept in a playpen or kept in a carrier and not played with or talked to or read to, many of these children are behind developmentally because the attention that they need is lacking. We looked last week a little bit at the parenting role in spending time with their child. And today I want to show you the verses from Deuteronomy 6:6-7. But I'm going to show it to you today in the New Living Translation. And here it says this: "And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you are on the road, when you are going to bed and when you are getting up." Here, I think the Lord is saying, as you spend time with your child, give attention to your child and teach them about me. Teach them who I am. Teach them to obey me. Now today, with all of the financial obligations and all of the struggles that people have, especially with the economy, many parents work from dawn to dusk and have little time to spend with their parents. And so it is a challenge many times to give the necessary attention. There was a group of 12,000 teenagers, then they did some research, and the conclusion was that a strong emotional connection to the parent was the best guarantee that the child would be healthy and that they would not be at risk to poor behaviors. Now, trust me, many parents have done an excellent job and have not always got all the results that they had hoped for. But the best solution, they say, is to spend time and give attention. Children crave attention. Many of you are grandparents. I'm a grandparent as well. And I believe that in today's world where moms and dads are working endlessly, We as grandparents have an opportunity to actually provide some of that attention that is needed. Sometimes moms and dads cannot attend all of the events that children are involved in. They're involved in scholastic events, they're involved in sporting events, and then they're involved in some other events. And so it's almost impossible for parents to support all of those things. And if you're a parent and you do, God bless you. But you know what? The reality is, many grandparents really would have the time to do that. Many grandparents would have the time to show that support to their grandchildren and help to show and develop that sense of being attended to. Now, in spite of good intentions, despite how much help we have giving attention to our children, sometimes we fall short. And as we think about our own growing up, our own families of origin, perhaps we fell short. Some of you grew up as latchkey kids. I grew up as a latchkey kid. I didn't see my parents in the evening a little bit. And that was the kind of life that we had. It was okay. But, you know, what I can tell you is this. We are not without hope regardless of where we are in the idea of getting attention. Because as a father, our Heavenly Father, the creator of this universe, gives us His perfect attention in our lives. In Psalm 68:5, it says, He is a father to the fatherless. He is a defender of widows. Is God in His holy dwelling? Even if our earthly families have failed to give us the attention that we crave, our Heavenly Father, in a perfect way, provides that attention. He says that He will never leave us. In Hebrews 13:5a, it says, God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. If you've ever been lost as a child, or you waited a little bit long after an event or after school for one of your parents to come and pick you up, you many times have thought, I wonder if they forgot me. As a parent, I probably have a couple times. But the reality is, God will never forget us. He will never leave us or forsake us. In fact, He is always present. In Psalm 46:1, it says, God is our refuge and strength. He is an ever-present help in times of trouble. And then He is a listener. In Psalm 91:15, it says, He will call upon me and I will answer Him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Although our earthly parents may have been imperfect, and certainly as a parent, I know that I am imperfect. But our Heavenly Father, yeah, I shouldn't have admitted that, huh? Our Heavenly Father is always perfect and always trustworthy. And when we look to Him, He, the God of this universe, stops and He bends low to listen and to pay attention to us. Need number two. Children and teens are desperate for acceptance. Every child needs acceptance for who they are. True acceptance is not based upon them meeting our expectations. It is not based on who they may resemble. It is not based on their accomplishments. Many children and teens are starving to find genuine acceptance. Acceptance that does not have strings attached. For a teenager, being different is a fate worse than death. Think about that. If a child does not gain acceptance at home and they're looking for acceptance out there, and they might be taller than most or shorter than most or they may have different colored hair than most or whatever, it's a tough thing. Many times, if a child is not getting that acceptance that they need, the first, and not necessarily the best, source of attention will be the one that will get that child's attention. I don't think lots of things have changed from the time that I was a teenager. But one thing I believe that has not changed, when I was a kid and I was growing up, those kids that had trouble fitting in, they were a target for the wrong crowd. For the kids that were peddling drugs or the kids that were peddling some of these things, that child that was like a square peg in a round hole, they were a good target because that little bit of acceptance would just draw them right in. And my friends, that is the way a lot of our cults work in the world today as well. That is the way people can peddle false belief systems because look for somebody that is a weak target. Look for somebody that is looking for acceptance. And if you offer it, they will stick themselves to you and forget whatever else goes with it. And so acceptance is very important. As parents, we need to be accepting our children for who they are. We need to realize that in 1 Corinthians 15, it says, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. And so we need to be giving the acceptance as parents. We also need to realize that, again, sometimes our children may not be aware of the acceptance or may not be able to feel that acceptance, but God will always accept. God accepts us where we are. When we come to the Lord with a heart that is open to Him, He will accept us. In fact, in Jeremiah chapter 29, it says, you will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all of your heart. If we're looking for true acceptance, when we are seeking that acceptance from the Lord, He says, when you seek me, you will find me. Need number three. Children and teens are desperate for unconditional love. Children are desperate for attention, they're desperate for acceptance, and they're desperate for love. Unconditional love. Love that is not based on you meeting my expectations. Unconditional love comes without strings. It comes without conditions. God loves us unconditionally. In fact, there is nothing that we can do that we can make God love us any more than He already does. And there is nothing that we could do that would make God stop loving us. In Jeremiah chapter 31, it says, the Lord appeared to us in the past saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with loving kindness. God loves us with a love that will not quit even when we displease Him. In spite of the fact that we sin, in spite of the fact that we disobey Him and disobey His commands, God loves us. And He demonstrated that by sending His Son. In John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him can have eternal life. They will not perish. The reality is God offers His love in spite of our sin. And He offers it to us unconditionally. And so many times, we will love if somebody meets our condition. But in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, it tells us that God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. In spite of the fact that we have been disobeyed God, that we have sinned against Him, even then, Jesus went to a cross. The ultimate expression of love. Loving us enough to lay down His life for us. If you are seeking unconditional love, the first place to look is to look to Jesus. the one who gave his life, the one who was your substitute, the one who paid the penalty for your sin and my sin on Calvary's cross. That is love. Need number four. Children and teens are desperate for security. You know, many children lack security in their homes. Parents are busy. Sometimes because of the kind of schedules that parents are required to work with their jobs, children are uncertain as to when they're going to see their parents. Now, I already told you earlier, I grew up as a latchkey kid. I knew at 3:15 my mom was coming home. And if I was going to get in trouble, I had 15 minutes to do it. And I knew that. That's the way it is. Today, many parents' jobs are not 9 to 5, punch the clock and go home. Many times people are working long and extended hours, and children do not know when they're going to see that parent. Most of you know that I spent some of my life as a district manager for Burger King. And one of the stores that I was involved with, one of the restaurants I was involved with, is one of them in the Poconos, where there's a tremendous amount of growth from people from New York City. And if we had 30 young people on the schedule, being 15 and 16, 17-year-old kids that were in high school, I would venture to guess that probably 90% of those kids had one or both parents working in New York City and living in the Poconos. And the reality is that some of those parents would go to work on Monday morning and not return till Friday night. Some of those kids did not see either parent from Monday morning till Friday night. And because those parents were traveling, those that did come home were exhausted and just had to get ready for the next day. My friends, those children, teenagers, were struggling for security. They were struggling to know that there was something that they could count on. Children today, I did some research this week, children today worry. Now, you know, how many of us have looked at children and thought, wow, to be a child again? And part of that we think, well, you know, no worry, you know, it's just kind of thing. But the reality is, studies are beginning to show that children are worried. They worry about homework. They worry about being late for school. They worry about changes in school. Some worry about health problems. Some worry about becoming sick. Some worry that they're small and they'll never be as big as their friends. Others worry about other things about their physical features. Some worry about not being popular. They worry about being left out of the group. They worry that they won't be good enough in sports or good enough in an activity. Sadly, some children worry about receiving personal harm. Some children worry about being separated from their family. Some worry about finances. Some worry about even dying. One parent said, "My daughter Mary is so worried about tests at school that she develops severe headaches and begins to throw up every time there is a test." Another parent said, "My little son Bill complains of stomach aches during the school week. On the weekend, he's perfectly fine, but Sunday night, he is sick once again." Worrying is a common phenomenon in children, especially teens and preteens. Many children today are diagnosed with anxiety problems, 45% more prevalent than 30 years ago. So what's the answer? Well, again, as parents, we're desperate. Again, as parents, sometimes we just can't meet every need perfectly. But in Psalm 10, it says this: "You hear, O Lord, the desire of the afflicted. You encourage them, and you listen to their cry, defending the fatherless and the oppressed, in order that man who is of the earth may terrify no more, or should I say, may worry no more. The Lord is the Father to the fatherless. He hears the cry for help. He stops, bends low, and listens. In a world that is uncertain, almost every day I get involved in a conversation with somebody, either over the election process or over the economy in this nation. And so, my friends, in a world that is uncertain, and we do live in uncertain times, in Psalm 37, it says this, "Trust in the Lord and do good, dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in Him and He will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun." In Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, in the New Living Translation, and I need to read this because I memorized it in every other translation, but it says, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take." My friends, the Lord is our security. Young people, the Lord is a secure Father, a secure person, one offering to listen to your concerns, one offering to give you guidance and direction and to show you what path to take. Dean number 5, children and teens are desperate for independence. Now, it's no secret that children want to be independent. I don't know at what age they learn that. One of the last encounters I had with my grandson, he was trying to do something. I tried to show him how to do it, and he was not happy about that. And we've all been in that situation. I can do it myself. Children grow up saying, "I don't need your help, Mom and Dad. I can do it myself." And so we want independence. The problem, though, however, is when we allow independence without preparing for it. Independence without preparation and guidance often leads to disaster. And so it's important for parents to be helping their child to make decisions. It's important for parents to allow and give guidance to their children so that they will make right decisions. A child is accountable to their parents. But ultimately, that child is accountable to God. And when that parent releases that child out into the world, that parent can no longer control everything that child does. That child becomes completely accountable to God for the decisions that they make. And so as parents, we want to be helping our children to become independent. Our goal should be developing them so that we can release them into the world as young men and women that are prepared to make decisions. We honor some kids that graduated from high school today. Some of these kids are going to be heading off to college. For the first time, they're going to be out from underneath the roof of their family. And they've been waiting. They've had that date marked on their calendar for about 5 years now. And they're just saying, "Wahoo! I finally am out on my own." But the reality is that they are still, you are still, accountable before the Lord. And I would encourage you to seek the Lord and His guidance and His direction. And in Psalm 32, He says, "I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the man who trusts in Him." Growing up to become an independent adult should be the goal of every child. And as a parent, that needs to be your goal in helping your child to come to that place in their lives. But as we do so, we need to rely upon the Lord to give us the guidance, the wisdom, the direction. Many children are desperate for independence, but let me remind you that independence comes with being dependent upon the Lord for His wisdom and for His guidance. We live in a desperate world with many desperate households and many desperate children. Children are desperate for attention. They are desperate for acceptance. They are desperate to be loved. They are desperate for security. And they are desperate for independence. Many children will seek to find these answers to these needs in all kinds of places. But I want to say this. The only one who can fulfill all of these needs is the Lord. Let me say it again. The only one that can fulfill all of these needs is the Lord. Yes, as parents, we have a responsibility to try to fulfill these needs to the best of our ability. But only the Lord can truly fulfill these needs in each of our lives. And so, as we come to the conclusion, we have some questions. And I think I should have rephrased this first question, because it says, as a desperate child or teen, which of these needs is greatest for you? And I would again say that some of you are adults and some of these needs are still great for you. So which of these needs is greatest? Attention, acceptance, love, security, or independence? And then the closing question is, how could your needs be met? Maybe your needs could be met through your family, but ultimately these needs can be met through the Lord. Father God, we thank you that as a loving Heavenly Father, that you fulfill each of these needs perfectly to all who will call upon you. And Lord, I would pray for all of our children. I would pray, Lord, that their needs, these basic needs, would indeed be met. But Lord, that they would not only look for these needs to be met in their families, but Lord, that they would look for these needs to be met in you. And then, Father, I would pray for those that perhaps are all grown up already and maybe are still desperate to have these needs filled in their lives. Lord, I would pray that through your Spirit, you would apply the truths of your word that we looked at today. And Lord, that you would, in all of those instances, be the true source to meet those needs. Lord, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for revealing yourself to us through your word. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.